evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's good to be back with you, brother and sister Amelia, Vicky. Been away down in Texas with their grandchildren. God brought them back safely. The Sunday message was about us giving God the praise and glory, just really exalting Him and Lord Jesus in the midst of our trials and tribulation, because it's one of the most powerful weapons we have is praise and worship. And the enemy doesn't like it. And I also said to those who are here, be prepared if the enemy doesn't attack you between now and next Sunday because of what the Lord is bringing up to us. This coming Sunday, we get to put on the whole armor of God. And we get to see Lord Jesus Himself at war with the forces of darkness. But anyway, this week, little sister back here, Chris, has been attacked severely by the evil one and his forces, and so have my family. God won a decisive victory yesterday, but then at the same time, the enemy turned around. Our home warranty people, our air conditioner is out in our house, and the technician said it needs to be replaced. They denied the claim. And I called them up and told them, I said, you're basing up on a cookie cutter analysis that if the compressor fail, one of these four things is the reason why, and they all go back down to the lack of maintenance. And I said, no, the technician said that the system is a 1987 system, it's old. It failed because it's old. And you all had already had them out early, and they replaced the part that it was locking up the compressor. And so now you're saying that it's our fault? And say, you all are a bunch of fraud. And that God is going to burn your business to the ground.
Oh, no. No.
Yes, I told them that. They're in New Jersey. I'm in Florida. I don't have arms that long to strike a match. But I wouldn't be that malice anyway. But my statement was that they're frauding God's people to keep from paying out money. And God is going to get them for that. We are the anointed of the living God. We have to come to the realization that Lord Jesus takes care of us now while we're here on earth. Not just when we're in heaven, He cares for His children now.
Is that a combination error with Peter?
Yes.
Condition?
And so God got something in store for them. And he's going to bless us. The same company that had denied of fixing our washing machine this past week gave only $180 for the dishwasher. Who can buy a dishwasher for $180? So we had nothing but trouble from them. But that's all right. They have messed with what did the Word of God says in Psalms 107? It says, "Do not do my prophets no harm." And he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. We are God's anointed.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
Me too.
We are God's anointed.
Yes. And Psalm 7, he said.
No, it's Psalms 107. In fact, let me research it here in a little bit. I think my mind is bouncing between Psalms 105 and Psalms 107. Okay. But we'll get it down. We'll nail it down here in a few minutes.
I need that one.
but the fact that still remains is that we belong to Jesus.
That's right.
And Lord Jesus does not take it lightly when the evil one jumps on His children.
Right.
And that Father has given us the victory through the blood of Jesus. And we're going to exalt the Lord. God is so good. Let me tell you what you're all about to see today. Last week, we just skimmed over it. But last night, the Holy Spirit showed me that I need to take my time with you all and not rush the Word of God. And if it takes 10 years to get through it, then it's 10 years. Okay? And so, to God be the glory, we're ready to go before the Lord in prayer because God is so good. He's awesome in all of His ways. And Lord Jesus is absolutely exalted. And we want to magnify the Lord.
Amen.
And there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
There is power in the name of Jesus. And every time we use the Lord's name, things happen because He makes it happen.
Amen.
And we thank him for that. Any prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask now, heal that arm, Lord Jesus. You're our healer. Heal his arm now. Dry the infection up, Lord, and heal the cause of the infection. Now, Lord, touch every person that's here. Thank you for giving your son and your daughter, Brother Amelia and Sister Vicky, Traveling Mercies back here. Thank you for allowing them to see their family, Lord, and to rejoice with them. And now, Lord, we're asking that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, have your way in this study tonight. Lord, we're here to glorify you. We're here to learn of you as Holy Spirit revealed to us the deep secrets of God. And Lord, that's what it's all about. Have your way with us tonight. Lord, watch over Israel and allow your peace to dwell in Jerusalem and bring salvation to all of Israel. And Father, likewise, here in these United States, we're also asking for salvation to come to all our countrymen. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit that you draw them, not through tough times, Lord, simply because of your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus, that the Father would draw our countrymen to you. Have your way now, Lord, as you open our eyes to your truth, for your word is true. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we exalt your holy name. And to Lord Jesus, who is Lord over all creation, be magnified. It is in his precious name we pray. Amen. Holy Ghost, come do your thing with us. Okay, I think my computer operator is ready. All right, we are going to be here in chapter 2, and here we go. On the NIV side, I start there because some of you like the NIV. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Who are the mature is Paul referring to? Here is the maturity, those who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and have accepted him based upon the gospel. That is the mature, okay? He's not talking about somebody that's grown and that's mature according to worldly standards. He's talking about someone who's mature according to the gospel standard, the believers, okay? And he said, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Miss Vicky, how long do you think the average person in the world live nowadays?
75, 80
years. Okay. Well, they do know that they've had some live, I think, 110. 114, I think the oldest person in the world was here in the United States. I think she died not long ago at 114. Moses was 120 when he died. Joshua was 110. Jesus was 33. David's baby was a baby. Him and Bathsheba's first child was a baby. Okay. Methuselah was 969 years. Adam was 937 years. So, Lamech was 777 years. You got it? Noah was 600 years old. What am I telling you? It's God's discretion on the number of years that you and I live. But no leader outlives the expectation of God for them. Every leader, whether it's a good leader or a bad leader, eventually will come to nothing, to an end. That's what Paul is saying here. And also what you have to look at too, and it's very important that you get this part. It doesn't matter if the leader is a principality, which means they are what?
Evil.
Demons. Or they're human agents. Eventually, their rulership over us will come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what Paul is saying. Are you getting this part now? It's very, very important that we get that. Okay? Who are coming to nothing. President Obama, presidency is coming to an end. And his successor, his or her
time
will come, and it also will come to an end. Let me name some folks off to you. Herod the Great, his time came to
an end
because God said so. God killed it. Yes. All right. What else? Let's look on. Titus, that evil ruler of the Roman Empire, his time came to an end. Nero, his time came to an end. Constantine, who supposedly made the church legal, his time came to an end. Okay? And so if you look down history, even closer to our times, Stalin, his time came to Adolf Hitler. His time came to what? Idi Amin. And there are many, many other tyrants whose time came to an end. And then one of the famous ones in the Bible, King David. His time came to an end. So maybe that was a little overkill on my part, but you need to understand that eventually God will bring it to an end. And so Paul is saying that the high priest and all of them that put Jesus to death,
their time
is coming. That meant they were still hanging around at this time. So they're going to come to nothing. Okay? Very important.
Does the Bible show what their attitude was after Jesus rose from the dead?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Remember, their statement was to Pilate, go and have the tomb secured unless his followers, in fact, they said, unless that deceiver, unless his followers come and take his body away, and this way his fame now would be greater than the first.
They didn't recognize him either.
Okay. Yeah. And so their attitude was really, really bad. Now, after Lord Jesus went back to heaven, some of his disciples appeared before those priests. The name was John and Peter, because they had healed the man by the temple in Jesus' name. Remember the man that was crippled and was begging?
Mm-hmm.
So now you understand what their attitudes were. They had the men beat and told them not to preach in that name anymore. Mm-hmm. So you want to know what they had? Unchanged.
Okay. What about Stephen?
You're going somewhere. We wait till Sunday. Stephen is one of the hallmarks of what it's like to put on the armor of God. That's coming up Sunday. Look at the Holy Ghost. You just got a glimpse. Yes, ma'am. And so, as we go along, we'll find out here that the wisdom of this world said, none of the prince of this world, okay? If you understand prince and rulers is the same Greek word, a key. You got to understand. So Paul is saying that they are going to die. All right, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What's he talking about?
When he was crucified?
No.
After
what in the world is Paul referring to? What is this hidden mystery? What is it all about?
That Jesus would come, die on the cross before the world was even put together.
You got it. That salvation would come to the world. Okay? Now, Emily, what I want you to do very carefully is to take this column right here and bring it over to Romans, right here. Put on Romans. Now I want you to go to chapter 16, pull up 16. And then I want you to go to verse 25. Put verse 25 to the top. And here we're going to examine, what is this mystery? You need to know what the mystery is, because this is huge, what God did. Okay? Look at here. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. That's important to know now. And the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The preaching of who?
Jesus Christ.
You need to know that. All right? According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. The preaching of who? Jesus Christ. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew his name. It wasn't until the angel told both Mary and Joseph what his name was going to be. So up to this point, from the fall of man all the way to the announcement of the pregnancy, no one knew his name. And no one knew his true identity, where he would come from. No one would know that the Messiah would be God's son himself. David kind of got an idea from the Holy Ghost in Psalms 2. Okay? But he didn't know his name. This is huge. Are you seeing why this is huge?
Yeah.
That up to this point, all of human nature, all of human population, human ages, not even the angels knew. Satan suspected that he was coming. No one knew. God kept it to himself. It was not revealed until God gave it to the angel, and the angel brought it to Mary, and the angel showed it to Joseph, told Joseph in the dream. Okay? And so, verse 26. Now, Ms. Vicki, you're finally beginning to understand, what is this mystery that Paul is talking about? What is this thing? In verse 26, I'm scooting in front of you, big brother. I apologize. I got a new piece of equipment here I'm operating.
Yeah.
We're getting fancy.
Uh-huh. I was thinking about that today when we were at Walmart.
Okay, but now has been made manifest and by the prophets, okay, or the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all who?
Nations.
All who?
Nations.
Now, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, okay? To God alone is wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. It was God's command that the nations of the world would know. Did you notice he did not restrict this to Israel? As much as they wanted to say the Messiah is for Israel, no. God says for all the nations of the world to know this. He commanded it. And you know who else commanded it? His son Jesus. What is the Great Commission?
To go into all the world and preach the gospel.
That's it. Go and proclaim this good news to all the world, to all the nations of the world.
Creation.
All creation. In Mark chapter 16, he says, go to every creature. Go and preach the gospel to every creature.
By what kind of creature?
He's referring to you and I. He's metaphorically speaking. Okay? So, go, because some of them do act like creatures. Now, keep that in mind. That you and I have a responsibility to carry this gospel wherever we go. Okay? And that the nations of the world are supposed to know this. We're not supposed to keep this to ourselves, and we're not to be selected about it. We're not to take it to a privileged few. It's not our responsibility to have that kind of discretion. That belongs to who? To God. And the Holy Ghost will empower us and has empowered us to go and preach the gospel to the world. Okay? Emily, you're doing a beautiful job. Take us back home, baby. Take us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now on that side. So, as he's pointing out here, also, sweetie, when I take you to another verse, another book, leave these three on the same book where we are. I just want to show the new teachings in this one, the new reference. Okay? Don't reconcile them all to the same. All right? Okay. So back to verse 6 here in 1 Corinthians. You can put them all now on that. So, in verse 7 now, no, we speak God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time was. So, what do you mean by glory? Our glory. What's he talking about, Miss Marie? What kind of glory do you have?
To know the truth.
Yes. Otherwise, it's for our benefit to know this truth. That God deliberately unveiled this truth, this good news. Because remember, gospel comes from the Greek word euangelos, which means you is good. Angelos is the same word we get angel from, or messenger. So it's good message. And they just say good news or gospel. So God has predetermined that you and I would know this. Jesus Christ was the first one to use euangelos in the New Testament. He said that he has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor. That's the Greek word euangelos. Well, it goes over into Latin and comes back in the form of English as evangelist. Okay? Or evangelism. All right? So, Jesus is now back in heaven, and he's telling the Holy Spirit, get that one. Now ordain her to go and carry the gospel here. Don't you know that Jesus appoints certain people to certain countries? To certain tribes of people?
Yes.
And don't you know that Jesus also sends the gospel to certain literacy? You're going, what?
All literacy.
Ah, he sends certain literate people to certain literate people. What does that mean by that?
He sends the right people who they'll be received by the group that needs to hear the word.
You got it. You got it. I can't go and speak to the population that Rabbi Zechariah speaks to. That population is too deep for me. They lose me. But I can take a common person on the farm, because that's where I come from, And I can speak that language.
Relational.
Okay? I can't do what Ms. Vicky do. I can't take and read the bars like that on sheet music, and she can turn around and reach a group of people that's musically oriented or inclined. Okay? That's her calling. I can't do that. Every one of you have been set aside by the Holy Ghost with a specific talent, with a specific gift for a specific calling.
Amen.
And God doesn't take that calling back until you're dead. That's why Paul said that the calling and gifts of God are irrevocable. I mean, they cannot be turned back. Holy Ghost ain't going to take them back. And he's not going to change his mind about using you. You change your mind, or you allow other people to change your mind for you. Okay? Some folks say, well, you're fired. What? Okay, I'm out of here. I'm still on the mission field. God says for me to go and do this, I'm going to do it. Because my real boss is not man, but God himself. Why do you think Paul opened all his letters up like this? An apostle sent by God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, sent by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He certified his being. He said, my authority comes from God. That's why I am here.
And no one else.
And no one else. So anyway, these rulers, Paul said, now they're going to die. All right? But had they known the truth, had the gospel been revealed to their hearts, to their spirit, they would not have put Jesus to death. Somebody else would have, because he was destined to die. But he said, these, they wouldn't have did it.
Somebody.
Because the word of God over in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah chapter 52 and in Isaiah 42 all says that the Messiah must die. Psalm 16, Psalms 22, Psalm 64, I mean a multitude of them all said that the Messiah must die. And that God was not going to allow him to rot. And that God was going, he said, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. In other words, you will not leave me in the grave. God was going to resurrect him. Okay? Now, powerful stuff right here, Miss Vicky. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they understood the mystery that I just read to you from Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Had they understood that, they wouldn't have killed Jesus. Now, I said, not me. I'm not putting my hand on God, son. You crazy? No. And would have fought somebody else if they'd have tried it.
Right.
That's why I believe, now, just Sammy Nelson now, the Holy Ghost didn't tell me this. I believe God took Joseph out of the picture.
Because he would have fought.
Because he would have fought for him. Said, oh, no, you're not doing my baby like that. I know what my true calling is, and you're not going to harm him.
But they would have killed him.
But they'd have killed Joseph.
Yeah.
And how did Joseph die?
Scripture doesn't tell us. But the plan of God went on. Okay? Right, here where we are now. So none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Couldn't you imagine if God would allow them to look into the spirit world and see Jesus' true identity? Oh, my Lord! Or even be able to see what Mary and Joseph saw. Think about that. And to take it on another step, what about the shepherds abiding in the field that night? What came to them? God sent a messenger from heaven to tell them the Messiah is here. He's just been born in Bethlehem. He didn't send the angel to Herod's palace, did he?
No.
He didn't send him to the temple where the high priest was or to the high priest's house. Did you notice that? He sent him to the little lonely boys out in the field.
They were
low. Yeah, they were low.
Like us.
Okay? They were Sammy Nelsons and Chrissy's and all of you. Okay? But look what they got, though.
I know.
Look at the gift they got. They got the greatest gift of their time. They got the good news directly from the heart of God that God's Son was now here. And they got a chance to go and see Him face to face. Woo!
We got it here.
In a way, we kind of feel like we've been robbed.
They got shepherds and not the king or the queen.
That's what I'm talking about. God did not send for the royalty to go and see His Son. He sent the meek and lowly, the ones that the world considered to be nobodies. But Paul said, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about these guys no more.
That's because royalty does not treat the lows as royalty like he does.
Okay, he's on to something here. Did you hear what Brother Amelia just said?
What?
He said that's because the royalty did not treat the lowly like Jesus would treat them.
As royalty.
Yeah, because Jesus called those who are meek in spirit. He called them a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And it said, we shall serve as kings and priests with the Lord. And don't get wrapped up on the word king there. Just simply say, look at that God is going to make us leaders in His kingdom. And come on, let's look at this.
Leaders set lead by example.
You betcha. You bet you.
The way God wants us to do it.
Yes. And I tell you that I knew that I was going to be attacked by demons this week. I knew it. I sensed the moment it came out of my spirit from the Holy Ghost, I knew it was going to happen. And I anticipated it. Didn't feel good nonetheless. Okay. But I knew it was going to happen. To what degree? I didn't know it would be to this degree. I mean, they compounded it. But the blood of Jesus is greater than all the attacks of Satan.
Amen.
And its evil forces. The victory is ours, says the Lord. Okay? To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord over the forces of evil. Amen?
No weapon for me.
And look here. That's right. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Emily, that means you're going to have to do some more homework here. You're going to have to go to Isaiah for us. And go to chapter 42. And let's take a look at something here. Are you there, doll? Look at here. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one. Who's that? Anybody know who that is? That's Jesus. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentile. God delights in Jesus. We have no idea what God has in store for you and me. Let's go on. Come over to Isaiah 64. Is she there?
Yeah.
Emily.
64.
Isaiah 64, right here.
Right here. Oh,
is she there?
It's right there. Chapter 64?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sir.
64, verse 1.
Okay. Here, Isaiah is asking God to come down and allow the nations to see him. Do you know what God has in store for you?
You don't?
Yeah, it's either
up or down?
Up or down.
It's best to me.
Let me ask you this then. If hell is in the heart of the earth, if the lake of fire is in the heart of the earth, what's going to happen to it when God destroys the earth? When it burns the earth up, this earth as we know it. But in the lake of fire, it's supposed to be eternal?
It is eternal.
No? You don't think so? That's another study. Jesus says where the worm dies not.
So it will always be there, but...
I don't think it will be in the physical matter as we think it would be in the physical matter.
Spiritual
matter.
So what God has in store for us is heaven.
God has in store for us is heaven. Okay? But, let me ask you this. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Anybody here know the testimony that John gives over in 1 John chapter 4? Anybody know anything about that testimony? Emily, can you help us out right here? 1 John chapter 4.
I might know the testimony, I just don't know. It's 1 John.
While they're looking, I want to go look at a cross reference because I messed myself up there for a second. Are you there? Are you on First John? I was right, by the way. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It was Isaiah 64, verse 4. Okay, here we go. Boy, I'm all messed up tonight. Go to chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1.
1 John 1.
See, even pastors sometimes get their minds get to racing so fast that they outrun their mouth. Anyway, here it is. This is the testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ is slowing me down. All right. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us.
Okay.
That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son,
Jesus Christ. Thanks.
Here's what God has in store for you and for me. Eternal fellowship with Himself and His Son, Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on material substance. Say, oh, God got a mansion for me. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say God has a mansion for you. No, that's a false teaching. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some translations say mansion. But you know what? Heaven is not broken down like that. If you look at the entire economy of God, that's what he's referring to. The entire family of God, the kingdom of God, there's room for you in the kingdom. When Jesus said, there's room for you in my Father's house, that word is economy, okay? There's room for you in the family of God. Not a mansion on a hill. people try to rationalize and explain God in human terms. You cannot do that. John tells us right there in 1 John here, what is the reward? The Holy Spirit explained it. John wrote it down. The reward is with God and Jesus. They are our reward. That's what God has in store for us, for those who love Him. His Son, Jesus. Period. That is the mystery of the gospel that goes back to the beginning of this chapter. You have to always go back to the antecedent. What is it? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is what's in store for us because we love God. And it goes right back to this. Emily, go to the Gospel of John. Look at chapter 1 and verse 12. And we're going to look at that. Okay?
Chapter what?
The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's take a look here. Look at the proclamation that the Holy Ghost had John to write about God and Jesus. You will see them both in this chapter, in this verse. Look at it. It's very, very specific, Chrissy. Okay? But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Who is Him? It wasn't talking about God at that moment. It was talking about who?
Jesus.
Jesus is the reward. Okay? God has in store for us His Son, Jesus. And whatever comes with Jesus, we're there with Him.
Amen.
And that's eternal life. That John had said in the letter that you read earlier, that our fellowship is with the Father. Okay? And up to prior to that little portion, he said that eternal life was with who? With the Father. And that eternal life was manifested, other words, made known, made real, very tangible. They were able to touch Him, smell Him, look at Him, handle Him, hear Him. And then He turned around and He pointed the things that God brought to heaven, Jesus, and pointed them back to heaven by saying, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, connecting God and Jesus together. That's what God has in store for us. Okay? Now, I'm no longer relying on my memory to teach now. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. So, this is powerful, okay? But as many as received Him, katabano, that means amen. You reel Him into your heart, into your life, forever. It's not something you do. Religion is something you do. Jesus is bigger than religion.
Amen.
Jesus is someone that you bring in and He becomes a part of your soul. He becomes a part of your spirit. Okay? That's what God wants. You and Jesus one. Me and Jesus one. Paul puts it another way. Okay, let me finish this real quick. So, right here, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Up to this point, we're alienated from God, from the commonwealth of Israel, also called Israel with God's chosen people. Now God has brought you and I into this fellowship by His Son, Jesus. Jesus is the one doing the work here. He is the one making this possible. He is building the kingdom of God, His Father. He is expanding the economy of God. Okay? When we believe on Him, His economy grows. Another one believes, the economy grows. We call it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Okay? They're synonymous. There's no difference between the two. So, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. This refutes the false teaching that you have to do something to be saved. You have nothing to do with it, not even your faith. Well, you got to make the decision. Let me tell you, your decision has nothing to do with God's decision.
God made it already.
God made it already. Everything was done by the Father and carried out by his Son, Jesus. And the Holy Ghost confirms it. That's what this is telling you and I. God did it all. Okay? You cannot bypass the truth here. This is the mystery. God himself did this. Did you not think he was going to do this? That day when he said to his Son and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image? Or possibly he could have been talking to the angels, who knows? Because they were created before we were. But we truly believe he was talking to his Son Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? You think you not know that when salvation comes, God is not going to put something so precious and so important into our hands? We messed everything else up in the garden. What do you think we would mess that up to? Yeah. I mean, look at this. This verse 13 separates us from the equation. We're out of it. And then 14, and the Word became flesh. That goes back up to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, saying Jesus Christ is God. Amen. That's what that just declared. I'm getting a little excited. I can't help it. Okay, the truth is flowing. Not the way I want it, the way God wants it. Okay? Paul, he's opening his eye, the eyes of a people that didn't know this. A people that was so battered by demon spirits. A people that was so corrupted by idols of their days. And a people who only looked for signs, that's the Jews. And then the Greeks looking for the wisdom of men to explain Jesus. The wisdom of men can't do anything. That's why he said right here, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Other words, human reasoning, human intellect has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
God.
It's all God. Okay? Now, Emily, if you come up here to Colossians. That's after the book of Philippians. Go to chapter 3, sweetie. Thank you. You're good, girl. Now, I want to show you something. Now, this, if this hadn't blowed your mind already, hopefully this will. Because the Holy Ghost is all about blowing your minds. Okay? Look at this. Look at verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That, let me give you a fancy name for that. There's a thing called trichotomy. What does that mean? You're three in one. Y'all call it the Trinity on one part, but that's not what we're referring to. That means you and Jesus and God are now what? One. Now tell me that don't blow your mind. Hello. But this wisdom, this understanding, this gospel, this mystery was hidden before the foundation of the world. And God revealed it by his Son Jesus and through the teachings of the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost.
Him in the glory.
Okay. That's why that is huge right there. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears. Did you notice that? It didn't say Christ, who's our religion, appears. Christ. Say Christ, who is our what? Life. Appears.
That's the right hand.
Got that? Then you also will appear with him in glory. That is the final connection, the final consummation of all things. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bringing all of us together in God, in Him, in heaven. That's what He said. Jehovah Witnesses teach, and I usually don't call people out, but they say only 144,000 going to heaven. Did that not just refute that false teaching?
It leaves me out.
Hey, that leaves the entire state of Florida out almost. There's nearly 7 million people in this state. Can you imagine? Woo! That means we're having the rest of the United States too, and the rest of the world. But we're doomed. But look at this. This is huge. Do you see this? The gospel that was hidden. Okay? But He was what? Which none of the prince of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Did you see that? God has prepared Jesus for us. An eternal inheritance of Jesus.
Thank you.
And in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes in that chapter that Jesus Christ, by His shedding of His blood, tore down the dividing wall, that partition that separated Jews and Gentiles. And by His blood brought the two men together. Notice how He called us two men. Otherwise, representing the nations of the world, right? Israel and the rest of the world. The blood of Jesus, Jesus Himself, brought both men together and made them one.
Jews and non-Jews.
Jews and non-Jews are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's huge, everybody. That's why we need to be praying for the salvation of Israel. Not only because God used them to bring the gospel or to bring the Messiah through them, but what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
To bring us all together as one family in the body of Christ. That's what God did. And when Jesus, if you go back and read Colossians chapter 1, the entirety of it, you'll find out that Jesus is going to, not only is He going to bring all the Christians, all the saints of God, Jews and non-Jews, I like how you said it, big brother, together along with angels. Uh-oh. Am I supposed to say that? You bet you. He says He reconciled all things in heaven and on what? Uh-oh. Does that not tell you that's everything? Mm-hmm. In Christ Jesus. Jesus reconciled it all into Himself. Himself. This is the mystery. You didn't know that. I didn't know this. I was praying to Father and I was telling Him, see, you know, as far back as I could remember, I've always loved You. And I thought I had a love for You that would never end. But I didn't know that that love would get even better when You introduced me to Your Son, Jesus. I really thought I loved God. But when Jesus, when God brought me to Jesus and gave me to Him by the Holy Ghost, oh my Lord, what a love relationship. Life can't get any better than that. And you're going, oh, preacher, look at you facing thousands of dollars of repairs in your house. And you're talking about the love of Jesus and life can't get any better than it. Because the love of Jesus and God does not consist of material things.
Amen.
They can burn my house down. It won't change the love of God for me. As Paul wrote in Romans 8, and it's very important that you and I get it. What shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us from the love of Jesus? And he goes down a list there. You notice though, there was one thing he did not list. Sin. Did you see that in that list? sin will separate us from him. But if we'll accept his atonement for it, sin is no longer an issue. Because Jesus took care of the sin issue.
Amen.
Amen. So, a lot of references, huh? And if you notice this, from Genesis to Malachi, was all the scriptures these brothers had. What we're reading now and studying now did not exist. So the gospel that they are referring to must be the gospel of Genesis to Malachi. And so as we look at that, what a revelation of how everything that was foretold about God's Son Jesus, Jesus Christ himself fulfilled it. And what's so wonderful and so marvelous for you and I to get is that the Holy Spirit himself brought it all to pass. He brought that news to Mary. And when, let me encourage you all to stop reading so worldly or so mundane when you look at the story of Jesus' miraculous conception. Look at it very carefully and see what God is doing there. Not what God is dead, what God, that's bad English. Look and see what God is doing. What are you talking about, preacher? You brought that to pass. Because the past, the present, and the future is all the same to God. And when you look at, when that angel came to Mary that day and called her highly favored, that means God just had endowed upon her the highest grace that a human can get at that point. No other human had such a calling. What? You're going to birth God's son. And notice how the angel said this. Now, please listen carefully. Paul hits on this very, very carefully. Jesus is the Son of the Holy Ghost. Did y'all get that? The angel said so. Did he not say so? That he will be called, he is the Son of the Holy Ghost. Now, people tell you you're not supposed to worship the Holy Ghost. You better watch your tongue. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus. The script. Hey, Emily, doll, go to Luke 1. I just got to prove it with the scriptures. Because some of them are looking at me like, preacher, we're ready to whoop your butt right now. Sweetheart, I want you to bring up to about verse, skip on down to about verse 20. All right, stop. 21? Well, actually, let's go on down just a little bit farther. Go to 27, Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Let's start there. All right. Bible study is now extended time. You can get up and leave if you desire to. But at this moment, the Holy Ghost has a specific teaching. 47. Those of you who want to enjoy it can stay. Look at this. Okay, are you back up a little bit, Emily? Go back down a little bit. No, I want to back up a little bit. Verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." At this point, no one else had been told this. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women of the all the women on earth. Blessed are you among women." Okay? "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" All right, bring 31 to the top, sweetie.
I see where you're going.
Ah, I do want you to see, but I want you to hold on. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Okay? Now, who fathered Jesus? The Holy Spirit. And God, you know, this thing is just so huge. Okay? Don't get confused with the Trinity as we know it here. Look at what's happening here. Okay? Look what's happening here. The Holy Spirit placed this, the seed of God in this woman's womb. Are you hearing me? And right away, the angel saying, "He is the Son of God." Right then and there. Right then and there. There's no doubt about that. We're done, darling. We're just expounding. You need more time?
We're just watching the Sunday service.
Okay. So here we are looking at something that had never happened on earth before. And nothing like it will ever happen again. These things no one on earth knew. God reserved them for himself. And at his appointed time, he revealed these things. That who would know that the Holy Spirit would have such an extraordinary role in the coming of the Messiah? Who would know that? Now you see why the Holy Spirit is so protective of Lord Jesus. Now you see why Lord Jesus is so protective of the Holy Ghost. Remember it said, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven in this life or the life to come. That means that's eternal damnation. They are very protected of each other.
And blaspheme means rejects the Holy
Spirit. Yes, and any of his works. And equally, please hear me out as we get ready to close. And equally, God is protected of them. And Jesus is protected of his Father. He protects his Father. And let me tell you, you don't know what you're messing with when you're dealing with Father, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And notice how the Holy Spirit now does not come sounding a trumpet on himself. He come to highlight Jesus. Make him know. Jesus himself said this, Miss Marie, that he won't come and speak of his own. He won't come talking about himself, even though he's more than capable of doing that. But he comes for what purpose? To talk about who? Jesus. Jesus. When he called Paul into the ministry, what did he say when he called Saul and Barnabas? He said, set them aside for the work of the ministry. He spoke audibly in that prayer group, and those men heard him. The Holy Ghost went there to that prayer meeting and said, set these two aside for me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work of the ministry where I'm sending them. Isn't that the first time men ever heard the Holy Ghost talk?
No.
Yes. As recorded in scriptures, no one had ever heard the Holy Ghost speak like that. Paul is the only one that we see in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit uses to highlight his work. Luke gives us some glimpse, but he records what Paul had did and some of the work that the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost. But Paul is the one that brings our attention to the Holy Spirit in his works. Does he not? And then Jesus, in terms, through John, up in heaven, tell John, said, let him have an ear, let the churches hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Okay? Jesus said we are to listen to the Holy Spirit, what he's saying to us.
Wow.
This is some deep stuff. And the Holy Spirit is the one who just unlocked the mysteries of God and presenting them to the world. Not the apostles. The Holy Ghost himself. Jesus didn't tell the apostles that they were going to unlock the mysteries of heaven. And when I'm saying heaven, I'm talking about God. Holy Spirit himself did it. Okay? Any questions?
Is that why the battle is all spiritual? Because God, well, the Spirit is fighting for us.
Yeah.
The devil is stealing from God.
I believe so. I believe that the battles are spiritual because the evil one trying to stop what God is doing. And like I shared with you all something I read somewhere that was so touching, it said that Satan always tried to counterfeit Jesus, but Jesus would never counterfeit Satan.
Right.
That's huge.
Well, that's like when he breathed the breath of life into us, he breathed some of himself into us. That's why the battle is... there's that battle, spiritual battle, that we do belong to him.
Yeah. There's so much that we don't understand about the working of Holy Spirit and how he seals us for the day of redemption. He seals us for the day of Christ's appearing. And when you notice the judgments in Revelation, when Lord Jesus sits the angels on this earth to carry out his judgment,
yeah.
And guess who they don't touch?
Us.
Yes, God's anointed, because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And when the angels see the Spirit of God sealed upon us, they bypass us. That's huge. All right, any questions before we go to the Lord in prayer? I didn't anticipate this long, but to God be the glory. And once again, we've only gotten...
It takes 10 years.
There's so much to unpack here. You all need to understand. And we haven't even started on verse 10 yet. We haven't. All right, every head bow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. Lord Jesus, you are the living word of God that Holy Spirit has revealed to us. And I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you continue to give us the mysteries of God, make them known to us, and help us to see what God truly has in store for those of us who love him. And Father, help us to take this good news of the kingdom of you and your Son, Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, that we would take it to the nations and that we would share with them so that they too can believe in you and love you and your Son, Jesus. Thank you now, Lord, for all that you've done. It is in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.